Hi, I'm Simon.
I'm G.
And I'm Boof.
Have you heard about Pickaxe's hit new old movie podcast, Yomp?
We each have a list of six films we want to share.
Every week, we roll a dice to randomly pick which one we watch and discuss.
MC Bunkerwelt says, "This trio is perfect for a movie podcast. G is the casual that has the mainstream movies, Simon is the nerd that is bringing the gems, and Boof is the cellar goblin that scrapes the bottom of the diaper."
Messiah Jones says, "Such a fan of this podcast. I love the variety, and all three have pretty good chemistry. G is far too confident in her own intelligence sometimes, and Simon can be a real curmudgeon. But the three work together well enough to keep the flow and make a good product."
Serenity Indeed says, "Love this podcast so far, but the audio is all over the place. Goes from quiet at the start of a sentence to loud in the middle. Every time somebody stops talking for even half a second, their audio goes quiet and has to ramp up again. It's very distracting. Edit, this audio issue was with my laptop."
Find Yomp on all your favorite podcast platforms.
Yomp!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Oxventure podcast. It's a Dungeons & Dragons podcast in which we listen to episodes of Oxventure. I am your temporary host for the week, Andy Farrant, and I'm joined by Mike Channel. Hi, Mike.
I am your temporary guest, as is implied by the word guest, which has an inherent temporary nature.
You'd be a permanent guest.
Yeah, I guess so. Permanent guest. Yes. Yeah. Hello. I'm good. How are you?
Permanent guest. Never quite afforded the status.
No.
Of fully settled.
No.
There's always a distance.
I long to roam. I have itchy feet.
Yeah. You could be up at any moment with a bindle.
Yep.
And just off to ride the rails.
Sleeping in a bivouac, whatever one of those is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's give you me. A bivouac in a minute.
Got that wanderer spirit, yeah.
So this week we're listening to episode one of our recent D&D butt, which is Dungeons & Dragons, but everyone has amnesia.
Yes. So specifically the way this works mechanically, because you won't be able to see this in the format of podcast, so I'll explain it to you. Essentially, your character sheet, traditional character sheet that you know and love, has been covered over with scratchable layers, basically. And so everything's a mystery. All the stats are a mystery. The name is a mystery. The abilities are a mystery. Spells are a mystery. Everything's a mystery. Proficiencies, a mystery. And the way it works is that when you want to deploy something, you say, "I'm going to scratch something off," and then you choose to scratch it off, and hopefully whatever you have chosen is useful in the circumstances. Not to spoil anything, but that's not always the case.
Not always the case, no.
So this is genuinely like a really ingenious way to play D&D, and was
if
very entertaining.
If we do say so ourselves.
Yeah, if we do say so ourselves. But yeah, it was brilliant fun. I mean, as I sort of say early on in the episode, this is not dissimilar from the way I play D&D, where every new ability and spell is a mystery to me until I deploy it.
Yeah.
But for everyone else who knows what they're doing, it's a really engaging way to play. And yeah, we'll talk a bit more about the sort of mechanics of it after you've heard the first part. But but yeah, it was a sort of unique idea, and people seem to have really enjoyed it on YouTube. So hopefully you're going to really enjoy it in the medium of podcast.
We also had a guest for this episode, which is Sullivan Beau Brown from No Rolls Barred. How was it playing with Sullivan?
Oh, he's lovely. He's brilliant. Yeah, he's a lovely, lovely guy, and has exactly the sort of chaotic energy that that we love on Oxventure. So yeah, Sullivan was brilliant. Well up for the sort of the style of D&D that we play, right? Which is not too serious, and I think that's very much the way he rolls on No Rolls Barred.
Yeah, I regrettably haven't been asked to be part of this exchange program yet, but we do have a bit of a exchange program currently going on with No Rolls Barred folks. Sullivan here, and Ellen's been over on that channel. There's some more upcoming stuff featuring some of us as well. So do check out their channel, see what they've got going on over there. One thing I'm not in this one, but one thing I did hear is that none of you had anything with which to scratch off the sheets. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, when you've remembered to bring all sorts of things like dice and dice trays and dice bags and, you know, like players' guides, whatever you feel you need to play D&D. Yeah, once we packed all that stuff, we'd sort of forgotten to bring anything to actually scratch stuff off, and because none of us use, you know, money anymore, really, like metal money.
In a post-money society.
Yeah, we live in a, certainly in a post-coin society. None of us had any coins on us, so I think I ended up scratching stuff off with the sort of sharp edge of my sharpest dice. So, yeah, I saw a comment on the thing saying they didn't even provide Sullivan with something to scratch things off with, which is exactly the sort of professional operation we're running here.
It is true, though. I haven't seen a coin for several years until, actually, I just got back from Japan.
Right.
If you want to go to an arcade in Japan, you do still need to change your 1,000 yen notes for little 100 yen coins.
100 yen coins.
And
well, that's nice.
And the gashapons and the crane machines and the
and they have those little ashtray looking things to hold them in and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are like occasional ones where it's like, oh, you can load your card with credits and then you can. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. That's not the thing at an arcade, is it? It's not the vibe.
Exactly.
And
also
loading up a card.
If it's points on a card, that allows inflation to take hold. Whereas as long as it remains 100 yen coins, eventually they'll be almost paying you to play arcade games, which is the utopian future I'm bargaining for.
Yeah. But yeah, so arcades in Japan, good for coins. Anything in the UK, though. I mean, I haven't seen a pound coin in years.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're not worth anything anymore, really. Are they? Cozzy lives and all that. Like, the pound coin's barely worth the metal it's printed on.
Yeah. So have you been up to anything else interesting this week?
I've been immersing myself in the Fallout TV show. We put a video up on the on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/outsidexbox.
Yeah, you talked a bit about this last week because Jane went to the premiere, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, yeah. So I've been watching more of the series. I think it's worth watching. I think it's worth sticking with. And it did get me thinking that we haven't really done any sort of post-apocalyptic tabletop role play yet.
No.
Really?
No.
Which feels like a rich vein.
I feel like there is a Fallout role-playing
game.
Yeah.
It feels like the perfect environment for it. Yeah.
And or like, what's the other one? Bryce Largo's Wasteland. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, I think the show does a really good job of... I mean, it takes a lot from the video games. As it goes on, you know, it borrows more and more from the games world. But it just reminded me what a sort of kind of fully formed world it already is. And I feel like a Fallout tabletop RPG would be... Everyone would be right on board and know exactly what they were doing instantly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they're already well-versed in the world.
Exactly.
I really like the nods to the game in the show, though. Like... there's a bit where Walton Goggins' character is just explaining how you'll always get sidetracked by, like, random bullshit.
The golden rule of the Wasteland is you'll always get sidetracked by random bullshit. Yeah,
like,
it's
that's
excellent.
So true. Like, I'm off trying to find my dad, and then I'll wander into a Nuka-Cola bottling plant and end up, like, looking for a golden
bottle top in a... Yeah.
Yeah, like a decades-old promotional bottle top that I want, and I'm there for the next 3 days.
Again... Being sidetracked, great fodder for a long-term tabletop RPG campaign, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
So maybe we should look into that, discover what the options are and stuff. It just surprised me that we've done, like, Blade Runner, which is about as close as to post-apocalyptic as possible, but it's not the same thing as Wandering a Wasteland, so yeah.
No. And, like, there's a Deadland setting which I think is a bit more post-apocalyptic. I think it's called Hell on Earth, maybe.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a potential. We could always look into that in the future. But I think it's worth exploring. But what we're going to listen to now, of course, is D&D, but everyone has amnesia. And yes, I did listen to last week's episode on all the... We'll be having none of your puerile D&D but discussions here.
What's your problem with D&D butts, Andy?
This is a high class podcast, Mike. I won't have you dragging it through the mud with your D&D butt.
It was Jane more than me. I'm pointing the finger
at
Jane.
That's true, actually. I'm surprised.
Yeah, yeah, I'm surprised at her as well. And a little bit impressed.
Yeah, a little bit disappointed. But yes, please do enjoy D&D, but everyone has amnesia, and we will see you on the other side and try to remember the things that have happened, because we don't want everyone to have amnesia.
D&D amnesia. Everyone has butts.
Sure.
What if you played Dungeons & Dragons, but none of the characters knew anything about who they are, how they came to be there, or crucially, what they could do? That's the kind of Dungeons & Dragons that we're going to be playing today. Hello, I'm Luke Westway from Ox Venture, your DM today, and I am so thrilled to have with me, here we have, well, we have Mike, Jane, and Sullivan, but maybe you could introduce yourselves.
Yes.
More polite.
We can indeed. It's me, I'm Sullivan. I'm on Nurrell's Bard and Chaotic Neutral, and I'm very, very excited to be here. It's going to be a fun day.
I'm Jane, I'm from Oxventure, you know me, and I'm very excited to play D&D with Amnesia.
And I'm Mike, and this sounds a lot like how I play D&D anyway, which is no idea what I'm doing, where I am, or what powers I have.
No memory of the last 200 or 300 times you
played. Yeah, correct.
Okay. So, I have devised special character sheets for you folks. Here they are. Here are your character sheets. As you can see, they are scratch carded.
I'm going to win £100,000. Is that not how this is working?
One of these has a grand prize of £100,000 on it. No, it doesn't really.
One in three chance.
That's incredible. We'll get to how these work in a moment.
You scratch them off, right?
You scratch them off, yeah. I wish it was that simple, Mike.
Okay.
Do you know how hard it is to bodge Amnesia into 5th edition?
Okay.
I do.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Is everyone ready to kick off?
Should
yes,
we begin?
Please. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. We begin face down as you all begin to slowly regain consciousness. The sunlight invades your dull and groggy heads, and as the world swims back into painful focus, you hear the sound of cawing gulls, crashing waves, and you taste the grit of sand in your mouths. One by one, you struggle to a sitting position. The first to sit up is the character who will be played by Jane. Peering around, you see that you are on a strand of white beach. Turquoise waves are pounding the shore noisily just a few feet away. The sun blazes painfully overhead. The beach is littered with bits of wood and rope, and two inert forms not far from you. Looking down, you see taut, muscular arms.
Oh, yeah.
Human arms.
Oh, yeah.
Heavily scarred.
Oh, all right.
And you're wearing a nondescript set of red garments.
Okay.
Are they yours? With a jolt of panic, you realise you have no idea. In fact, you don't realise or remember how you got here. You don't remember your name. Nothing, in fact, before this very moment. Your attention is brought back to the beach as the other forms begin to stir and sit up. Next to reach sitting position is the character played by Mike. You look down, you see the mottled grey fur and fluffy paunch of a tabaxi of advanced middle age.
Okay.
Your joints ache profoundly.
Oh, yes. Relatable.
You are wearing a set of similar garments, but yours are blue. You remember nothing.
Okay.
And the third to wake up is the character who will be played by Sullivan. As you sit up, you flex your painful joints, and as you do so, a set of impressive wings unfurls from your shoulder blades. You are an Arakokra, a tall bird-like humanoid. You are dressed in nondescript, plain fabric, exactly like your companions, except your clothes are yellow. You remember nothing. As you stare at each other, hoping for answers but receiving only blank stares, it dawns on all of you that you're in the same situation. You're going to have to figure out what the hell is going on together or die trying. But perhaps start with what you're going to call each other.
Okay. Well, what's an appropriate name for a tabaxi? Like Tiddles or... you know... What's the cat name?
I'll put Tiddles on the maybe pile.
Okay, fine.
I'm wearing red. Can I be red?
Yeah.
I'm wearing red. Okay. But you're red. You're also wearing red.
I'm wearing blue.
Blue, well, there you go. Okay. I'm red. Red and
we
Tiddles.
Can't just refer to each other by... I think Tiddles is a fine name.
It is a fine Tiddles. Name.
Maybe, and we don't know this, in my culture, that's the name of that is given the highest respect, perhaps. So Tiddles it shall be.
Could be. Red, Tiddles?
I'll go for Man-Bird.
Man-Bird.
I've no.
It's either that or Birdman.
Yeah.
You toss the coin.
Red, Tiddles and Man-Bird, I'm now going to hand you your character sheets and I'll explain exactly how this is going to work because I've made a few rules tweaks to make this wild system...
Function at all.
Barely function. Yeah, here we go. Let me pass these over. Whoosh!
Oh, here we go. Okay, yeah, there's a bird man.
Thank you very much.
So you can tell who's who's by
there's
the...
There's me.
Okay, yep.
I can read the race on here, and that's it. That's the only thing I can read. All the
everything
stats,
else is covered up.
Yep. Scratchies, mm-hmm. and all of this area
name,
is all scratchies.
Armor class, health. Yeah. I've given you your character sheets, and having done that, I will tell you. Mm-hmm. Red.
Yes.
You feel a faint thrill humming through you. You know it to be a connection to the arcane weave that binds the world. Birdman. Or was it Man-Bird?
Man-Bird.
Man-Bird. I'm so sorry.
He gets it all the time.
Man-Bird.
Birdman was my father's name.
Man-Bird, you feel a similar thrill, but also something more. You know it instinctively to be the favour of some unseen presence. Tiddles, you feel nothing.
I'm a nihilist.
Okay, a little bit of rules housekeeping. All so right. Here's the basics of how this will work. When you make a check, any kind of check, you scratch off the relevant bit of your sheet to find out what bonus you are applying.
Nice. Got it.
If any, you each have latent abilities, though gods alone know what they are. They are in the sort of large rectangular bit, square bit. You can see a bunch of different abilities, spells, etc. All scratch carded out. There we go. The only way to find out what is behind those is by committing to performing it. You can do this at any point. Scratch it off at random.
Okay.
But it will happen. Few rules edits. In acknowledgement of the fact that you're coming to these characters completely blank. Spell slots, forget them. Everything goes out of a third level spell slot and there's no keeping count. All of your abilities can be cast the first time you use them and once more after that and then never again.
Okay.
This is to encourage you to keep scratching, keep uncovering, keep digging away at your pasts. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've met each other, you've named each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll give you a few minutes to sort of get caught up.
Anyone any idea how we got here?
I don't remember a thing.
No, me neither.
I'm very confused.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't really know what's going on. Are we part of like different teams? Team maybe?
We're wearing differently coloured garb.
So perhaps.
Perhaps.
Maybe we're enemies.
Maybe we are.
Maybe we're.
But what a wonderful opportunity to not be enemies anymore.
Maybe.
Yes.
If we can't remember, then we could be friends.
That'd be pretty cool.
We have truly left the past behind us. But if we were great friends before, maybe we're less good friends now. It's a real minefield.
Oh, dear.
Tiddles, as you speak, you feel a faint sort of kind of thrumming through the ground, through the beach. And as you look down, you see the sand start sort of subtly vibrate and move. Everybody make me a dexterity saving throw.
Scratching.
Yeah.
Scratching.
What to be scratched with?
I didn't bring a coin, so I'm going to use... metal.
This is where the whole conceit falls down because no one has cash anymore, do they?
Okay.
I gave my last pound knife. Away.
I got a pen knife. Yeah. Are you not carrying a pen knife?
In case of emergency scratch
In case
card.
Of scratch card. Yeah. Right.
Well, I have a 14 in dexterity and that's a +2 modifier. Pretty dexterous.
Pretty dexterous.
Pretty agile for an ancient elderly cat man.
Mm-hmm. My dexterity is... I've got a +3. Here we go.
Whoa. Is this the saving throw or the...
Saving throw, yeah.
Yes, yeah. So I've got a +2.
Cool.
My saving throw. Okay.
Fantastic.
So I've got a +5 here and I've got a +2 here.
Which is the bonus to the saving throw?
The bonus to the saving throw is the +5 here.
Okay, cool. So, roll a d20 and add 5 to it. Oh. And everyone else do the same.
Ooh. Yes.
Well, I've got an 11.
21.
Whoa.
16 +2, 18.
Okay. Red and Man-Bird, instinctively, as you feel the ground start to tremble, you edge away from the source of the vibration. Just enough. Tiddles, you're not so lucky.
My cat-like reflexes.
Your cat-like reflexes. Maybe when you were younger, those cat-like reflexes would have kicked in, but not now. The sand erupts in a sort of vast explosion as a gigantic crab explodes out of the sand.
God.
Tiddles, it sends you flying.
No.
I'm going to say you're not prone, but you don't need to take... No,
I land
damage.
On my feet. Just.
No, you're no, not that's... prone. You land on your feet just and then fall on your back.
Did you hear not prone?
Yeah, yes, not yes. prone.
Oh, sorry.
No, you are sorry. Not prone.
Not prone. Right,
yeah.
Got it.
I land on my feet.
I was like, I'm not prone. What?
I land on my feet. No, you don't. okay, atop this crab, there is a Sahuagin, which you may be familiar, is a sort of fish-like humanoid.
So we've got short-term amnesia, but I recognise a giant crab when I see one, and a Sahuagin when I see one.
You recognise a giant crab because... Yeah.
That crab knowledge is like locked away in the long-term memory.
But it's just burst forth to the forefront of
the amnesia refers exactly to your own pasts and yourselves. Okay. Your knowledge of the world remains...
Trivia, general knowledge.
Yeah, you've got all the trivia you ever had.
Let's find the nearest pop quiz.
Good, I heard that.
Okay, yeah, so you're knocked prone to those. There's a Sahuagin atop this giant crab. The sides of the crab are covered in, netting or rigging, and sort of hanging from them, those nets, like there's sort of bits of fish and stuff, and the Sahuagin has a big spear. And it's going to plunge us all into initiative order as it throws it. So everyone scratch off your initiative.
Yes.
Bonus.
All right.
Scratching. How's it scratching with a d6?
Eh, not so bad. That's all right. Plus two. Plus two initiative.
Plus three.
Plus zero.
No,
rubbish manbird.
Oh, manbird.
Okay, so manbird, how did you, what was your number, sorry?
I've got a plus zero to my initiative.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh.
And my roll is an 18.
18. Wow, nice.
Right. Don't even need that modifier.
Also 18.
Okay, also
18. I got 10 plus 2 is 12.
12. Okay. All right. Well, none of you beats the speedy reflexes of the Sahuagin, who is going to, I suppose, having burst out. I feel like Red, you probably visually are the biggest threat here, having moved out the way most agilely.
And because of my enormous muscles.
And because of your enormous muscles. The Sahuagin is going to hurl a spear at you.
Oh.
So, no, this is good, because now we get to find out your armor class.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Now, armor class is here, isn't it?
Yep.
I only know that because I can see the word armor peeking out from behind my scratching bit.
Okay. Scratch. Armor class is, everybody, 13.
13?
13.
Not bad.
Okay.
Not bad for someone in red rags.
Well, this is a great day of discovery because the Sahuagin rolled 16.
Ah.
Because that means we get to find out your hit points.
Yay! I'm learning so much about myself.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Okay.
A journey of self-discovery.
Let's find out my max HP.
Didn't even have to go to Thailand for it.
No.
My max HP. All right, come on. 51. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
To the tune of 8 points of damage, this spear sort of shoots past you. You manage to, you try and move out the way of it. You're as it moves towards you, it almost seems to kind of slow down in your perception.
Oh.
And your body moves in a way that you weren't prepared for it to, but feels very instinctive and very, very smooth and very calm. You get out of the way. So this thing just sort of, it just grazes your shoulder.
Okay.
This Sahuagin spear. Manbird and Red, you rolled the same, so you can decide amongst yourself who goes next.
Oh, you'd like to go, you've just been whacked.
Yeah, I'd like to go. Thank you, Manbird. Yeah. Well, I don't have a weapon, apart from the, arms. But I do feel magical. So, can I try and do a magic?
You can.
Sort of like...
Just hold your arms out and hope something comes out.
Yeah. You hold your arms out, scratch off any one of the boxes in your abilities.
Okay.
Oh, which one are you going to choose?
So I'm going to call on a random ability, hope that it's magic.
Yep. Not like nuclear Armageddon.
Okay, all right, here we go. I'm going to go
Although we'd all get home faster.
Yeah, it's true. One.
It is called... Oh, Burning Hands, yes please.
Hey!
All right, there's an entire spell description under here.
Oh, that's an essay.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of scratchy bits on this table. Okay. Burning hands. As you hold your hands with thumbs touching and fingers spread, very specific, a thin sheet of flames shoot forth from your outstretched fingertips. Each creature in a 15-foot cone must make a dexterity saving throw.
Mm-hmm.
Creature takes 3d6 fire damage on a failed save, or half as much damage on a successful one, and then a bunch of stuff about higher levels.
Okay.
Well, we're doing a third level, aren't we?
We're doing third level spells, aren't we? Yeah.
All right, I'm going to need to scratch this whole thing. When you cast this spell using a second level slot or higher, the damage increases by 1d6 for each spell slot above first. So I'm doing 2d6s to add to that 3d6.
Yep. So, cool. Roll 5d6.
I'd like to borrow some d6s.
Wait, but what's my spell casting stat?
Okay, so your spell save DC is going to remain a behind the scenes secret.
Okay.
So I will sort of tell you if this works.
You just want me to roll for it.
Yeah, because I think if I told you, you could, all the people viewing could maybe infer your...
My class.
Class.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. We'd all know.
Everyone except
all of us would know, yeah.
Right. Yes,
I would definitely know.
It would be painfully obvious.
Here we go. So I've rolled a 10.
Okay.
I rolled a 10.
Now you do the math.
For once in your life.
Oh, yeah, the shoes on the other foot.
Oh, man, I have to do... This sucks. Why did I agree to this?
All right, so I hold my hands with thumbs touching and fingers spread.
Like a birdie.
Oh, yeah. I do a little birdie, and then...
I've got hot hands.
Wait to see if anything happens.
Yeah, okay, so...
Okay, so with muscle memory, I just sort of...
Yeah. Yeah, you push out your hands.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah.
Like you're at a Weezer concert. and, yeah, a huge sort of gout of billowing fire just shoots out, flamethrower-like. Mm. Tiddles and Manbird, you are quite taken aback by this, as are the Sahuagin and the Crab. The... So Huigan reacts very quickly and nimbly ducks down behind the crab. The crab, however, does not get out the way. Mm-hmm. And how much damage?
We're
going to
go for 4d6.
5d6.
Is it 5?
Yeah, it was.
No, it's 3 plus. Oh, yeah, okay, all right. Well, let me add one more d6 then. There we go. That is a 2, 4, 8, 11.
11?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Steam sort of pours out of the joints of the crab, and it makes a kind of bubbling noise that
good.
None of you speak crab, but it smells great. Mm. Mm. And it makes a kind of sound that you infer to be agony.
crab scream.
Cool. Yep. Brilliantly done. Okay, next up is
Manbird.
Well, I can do a bit of magic, and not as much, but I'll do a magic. Right. I'll scratch.
You hope?
Here we go. I'm going to scratch off this magic. What's this? Branding smile.
What?
Oh. Here we go.
Have you seen a crab smile? It's extremely unsettling.
Oh, yeah, some at higher levels. Damn, my thumbs. Come on. I should always carry a pocket knife around. There we are. Branding smile. The next time you hit a creature with a weapon attack, before this spell ends, the weapon gleams with astral radiance as you strike. The attack deals an extra 2d6 radiant damage to the target, which becomes visible if it is invisible. And the target sheds dim light in a 5-foot radius and it cannot become visible until the spell ends. That's not going to apply to this crab.
Nice.
And then at higher levels, I can do things.
Okay, so, yeah, no problem.
Do you have a weapon, or are you going to have to grab some driftwood? Or
yes,
something?
We'll see.
So this spell is called Branding Smite.
Smite.
In fact.
Oh, it's yes.
But the font is tiny.
Yes.
Okay, so it requires a weapon. I'm going to give you an opportunity to find one. You feel welling within you the ability to infuse any object with sort of magical damage-dealing powers. Mm-hmm. What object will you choose?
Should I do a perception check?
Yeah, go on then. That's a good idea.
See what I can find. Right, that's 17. I should have
17
done this.
17 plus.
We're about to find out.
Let's have a little look. Plus 5.
Oh, wow.
I'm so perceptive.
You are perceptive. Ooh. Yeah. What's this right under your foot? A cudgel-shaped piece of driftwood. It looks to have come off a ship and recently too. It's not too waterlogged. It's still got some nice splintery edges. Yeah, we'll call that a 3d8 damage plus 2d6 radiant damage. So what are you attacking? Crab, or are you going for the hidden Sahuagin?
We'll go for the crab.
Cool.
We'll
All right. Crab. Yeah.
So I'll roll to hit. Mm-hmm. That's an 8. Do I plus anything to that? That's the question.
Strength?
Yeah, it would be melee attack, so yeah, you'd plus your strength.
Here we go. Please be something
How
good.
How strong
are we? Ish.
So plus two.
Plus two, so a total of ten.
Ten.
I'm devastated to say because it sounds so cool, but this crab is so heavily armored. As you pick up this, wooden sort of cudgely piece of driftwood, and Red and Tiddles, you see it just sort of explode with a holy light that makes you feel good, guilty. Maybe. And Manbird, as you just swing it into the side of the crab, unfortunately, it hits its rock hard carapace and just bursts into splinters.
Oh, no.
But I feel less guilty now, so that's
better. Tiddles, you're up.
All right. Well, I feel like I need to stand up. And I do it in that very old geriatric way. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, you make a noise and your knees make a noise.
Oh, yeah, clicking and popping and all that stuff. So, I'm back up on my feet. Everyone else is doing magic. Can I just do some magic, please?
Yeah.
I'm going to go for this one. This one here. The big old scratchy.
Here it comes.
Well, let me tell you. I've developed the talent for picking out lies.
Oh, good. Okay.
Whenever I make a wisdom insight check to determine whether a creature is lying, treat a roll of 7 or lower on the d20 as an 8.
We will. Sure.
So, yeah, I'd like to check if this crab is lying.
Good idea.
To me.
Good idea.
Is it really in agony?
We'll make a wisdom insight check.
We're going to find out.
This seems useless, but we are going to find out your wisdom insight.
I've rolled a 17, and let's find out what my wisdom is.
We're learning all about Tiddles as we go.
My wisdom is plus 2, so that's 19.
Wow, okay. So, and are you casting it at the Sahuagin or the crab?
The crab.
Yeah. This
is the crab lying to me?
This crab is an honest fellow. as crabs go, there's no deceit.
There's no artifice here.
Yeah. You pass on to your companions that this crab
is an honest crab.
You say those exact words.
Oh, great. Anyway, that makes me feel better about this.
Anyway,
at least I set up as well.
It's the crab's turn, I think.
And it is honestly going to smash me with its big pincers, probably.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, this crab senses that something is trying to probe its crab mind. And this crab is unusually protective of that. So being the most recent thing, I think it's going to have a pop at you, Tiddles.
Oh, no.
What's your armor class, Tiddles?
I guess we're about to find out, aren't we? It is 12.
Yeah. I don't like these faces.
Is that a nat 20?
Yeah. It's only a 14. So, if you were built a bit more robust, you could have deflected
Maybe
that.
Maybe in my youth.
Okay. The crab rushes towards you with both its claws ready to slam down. And it is just going to like slam them both down like that.
Like hammering me into the sand.
Yeah, basically. Let's roll this properly.
Wait, but do I do a dex saving throw?
Why would you?
I don't know.
Go on then. Go on then. This is how. This is Mike's D&D tactic. He asks something, he doesn't know it's not in the rules, but he asks it, and it just sort of. It just hits my heart. It's so earnest. How can I refuse? Yeah, go on then. What did you get?
Nine.
Okay. Right. The first claw smashes down on you. Okay. Who can do...
We don't know who can do.
Let me see your HP.
All right. Okay, you can see my max HP.
35.
Oh, gorgeous.
Oh,
my head already.
Your HP is now 2.
2?
Yeah. The crab goes like that, burying Tiddles sort of in the sand.
We've all seen them by the side of the road.
Yeah.
Smashed flat cat.
Oh, no.
A smashed flat, crunched up bone heap, I'm afraid.
You can't die with amnesia.
Wow.
At least he was honest.
Damn, all you've done is be knocked prone. Find out that a crab is honest and now they're nearly dead. That's all that's happened to you the whole game.
Sensing opportunity, this Sahuagin is going to pop back up, for it is the Sahuagin's turn, he's going to pop back up from behind the crab and produce a vicious-looking dagger. And
finish the job.
Yeah, and just sort of throw it to try and finish the job. However, Red.
Yeah.
As a reaction.
Yeah.
You catch that dagger
out
in
of the air.
You now have a dagger. Great, and it's your turn.
And I've got a dagger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the Sahuagin is like back on top of the crab.
Uh huh.
Okay, how close is the crab?
It's close.
Close.
The crab is
right on me.
This crab moves fast,
okay.
So it sort of scuttled up to smash Tiddles,
mm-hmm.
And now having made that attack, it's sort of like scuttling back, kind of ranging around you, trying to keep you guessing. Okay. It's not static.
Okay, well, given the little I know about myself,
mm-hmm.
I vault onto the back of the giant crab,
yep.
And attempt to stab the Sahuagin in the throat.
Let's make this a dex based attack.
Love that.
Yeah, because this all feels very finesse to me.
Okay.
So yeah.
All right.
Roll me that. You're going for the Sahuagin, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
All right. I'm going to leave the honest crab out of this. There we go. And that is a 12 plus 3. 15.
Yeah, it hits.
It hits. Yeah. We got a dagger, so what are we calling that?
Let's call it 1d8.
Okay. All right. Dagger goes one. Dagger, why?
Yeah. You stick this thing in the Sahuagin, and it just sort of twists at the last minute in a way that just like it sort of goes
Nicks
in
it.
A bit. Yeah. Sahuagin goes. I tell you what though, seeing as this is the first damage. That the Sahuagin has taken, I'm going to make a constitution saving throw for it. 2. Okay. This Sahuagin hates pain so much. Having received this merest nick, I suppose probably more tellingly having seen you flip up effortlessly onto the back of the crab, which you did do.
Oh, I did.
The Sahuagin kind of yanks on a rein and sort of steers the big honest crab towards the sea. And it kind of goes away. The Sahuagin sort of submerges behind it. Its fist. And yeah, thought better of this fight. Okay. Chose to flee. And
thank providence.
Yes. And you are now out of combat.
Oh. I shake my fist at the ocean. My muscular arm in the direction of the Sahuagin.
The ocean
I shake my fist and my wrist sort of snaps off and dangles limply.
The ocean is impassive. Okay. Well, here you are.
Can I have a long rest? Can we pick this up again tomorrow?
Long rest, please.
Absolutely not.
Oh, no.
I would like to recover the spear that the Sahuagin threw initially.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's just sticking out the sand with some of your blood on it.
Okay,
yeah.
So now we've got a spear and a dagger and a cudgel and a smash flat cat.
I think I said the cudgel shattered.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you did.
I wouldn't have said if I thought you were going to very cleverly take stock of what you had, but sorry.
Well, I passed the spear to Manbird.
That cool?
Maybe
not
you
Tiddles.
Can use this. Well,
Tiddles.
I can even hold it, to be honest.
We peeled Tiddles up off the beach.
Yeah, we're going to carry.
Yeah.
I suppose we'll have to carry you, won't we?
Probably, at 2 hit points.
That was a 33 hit point crab damage. 33 points of crab damage.
Yeah. Yep. Red, as you hand over, is it the spear you were giving to
Manbird? Yes, I've kept the dagger.
Yeah. As you pass the spear over, there's just something about the way that it's held in your hand. A memory swims briefly into focus, and the memory is thus. You see a large stone square where rows of pupils, also holding spears, drill, swipes and stabs and kicks in perfect unison, little bursts of flame springing from their fists and spear tips as they do so. Hmm. You try to cling to it, but the memory evaporates as quickly as it.
Do I have a sense that am I teaching them or am I among them? What's my POV? Oh, it's all.
Hard to tell.
Hard to tell.
Damn this amnesia.
Damn this amnesia. Okay, fine.
Okay, so.
Keep your secrets.
So you have the opportunity to take a bit more of a look around. The island that you're on, I suppose you can't tell very much from where you are. What you can see is the beach. You can see like a fair distance away from you, the beach sort of turns into forest, and then further up you can sort of make out like some rocks. Looks like things get a bit more sort of cliffy and mountainy over there. It's all a bit vague from where you are, to be honest. I suppose your first priority might be to find shelter.
Yes, I agree with that. I say weakly.
Mm-hmm. Maybe do something about Tiddles' shattered body.
Yeah.
One of you might be able to heal him.
Yeah, but we never know. You might accidentally cast, like, I don't know, hideous laughter or something.
There are a lot more damaging spells than healing spells, so the odds are not good. Yeah. We're going to accidentally uncover a healing spell.
Seems unlikely.
We could try.
No, I don't think I want to try.
We can always try.
I don't want to be.
I could test it out on a nearby palm tree.
Yeah.
And then.
If it bursts
into let's keep scratching.
Yeah, should we both test spell out? Each?
Before we hit you with anything we don't know what it is, Tiddles.
Okay. But bear in mind, you can then only use it once afterwards. So.
Well, we gotta try something, Tiddles.
It's true.
You're in a bad way.
Yeah.
I'm close to death. This
poor cat. Poor cat man. Okay.
Hi, I'm Simon.
I'm Gee.
And I'm Boof.
Have you heard about Pickaxe's hit new old movie podcast, Yomp?
We each have a list of 6 films we want to share.
Every week, we roll a dice to randomly pick which one we watch and discuss.
MC Bunkerwelt says, this trio is perfect for a movie podcast. G is the casual that has the mainstream movies, Simon is the nerd that is bringing the gems, and Boof is the cellar goblin that scrapes the bottom of the diaper.
Messiah Jones says, such a fan of this podcast. I love the variety and all three have pretty good chemistry. G is far too confident in her own intelligence sometimes, and Simon can be a real curmudgeon. But the three work together well enough to keep the flow and make a good product.
Serenity Indeed says, love this podcast so far, but the audio is all over the place. It goes from quiet at the start of a sentence to loud in the middle. Every time somebody stops talking for even half a second, their audio goes quiet and has to ramp up again. It's very distracting. Edit, this audio issue was with my laptop.
Find Yomp on all your favorite podcast platforms.
Yomp!
Right. So we find a couple of nearby palm trees further up the beach.
Yeah.
And we have a little chat about what we're going to do with Tiddles. And I don't know. I don't feel. Do you feel like a healer?
I don't think birds often are. But
we can only try.
We can give it a go.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll heal this palm
we
tree.
We will. Okay. I size up the palm tree.
Yeah. I suppose I could do one as well. I might as well scratch some things.
You might be able to heal yourself.
Yeah. Because otherwise, you know.
Yeah.
Might just die and never have known.
We're each going to pick a spell.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Go for it.
And do it on a palm tree.
I love it.
Do this.
All right.
I'm going for this one.
This is like Christmas. Everyone's unwrapping their presents.
Stunning Strike. Are you a healing spell?
Fine Steed. Are you a healing spell?
Stunning Strike. When you hit with a melee weapon attack, you can spend 1 key point to make the target stunned until the end of your next turn. Well, that's not a healing spell, is it?
It's not a healing spell, no.
I think I'm a fighter.
Interesting.
The memory starts to connect with something else, and I'm thinking about key and key points.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me think about fighters, so maybe. Anyway.
So remind me what it does, is a stunning strike.
Yeah, yeah. I hit the palm tree with my dagger.
Sure. Stunningly.
Stunningly. Yeah. And I Oh no, it's when I make hit with a melee weapon attack. So first of all, I'll have to try and hit the palm tree with a dagger.
We can say it hits.
Okay. You can spend one key point to make the target stunned.
We're not doing key points.
We're not doing key points.
I put it in there so that everyone has like a clue as to sort of classes, right, etc. Mm. But like, we consider them like spell slots. We're not counting them.
I stab the palm tree and go, no, that was not a healing spell.
It's cool though.
It is.
There's a kind of acrobatic lunge and you land just behind the palm tree, looking away from it, and then it kind of like slides off its axis, like,
whoa,
stoof, like that to the ground.
Okay.
Oh, I'm glad you did.
Man bird.
I've done fine steed. You summon a spirit that assumes the form of an unusually intelligent, strong, and loyal steed, creating a long-lasting bond with it. Appearing in an unoccupied space within range, the steed takes on the form that you choose. A warhorse, a pony, a camel, an elk, or a mastiff. I'll go for a pony.
A pony?
Yeah. At least you don't have to carry my shattered corpse around.
Yeah, we can put you on the fine steed. So actually, that's all.
You look at this tree and you concentrate and you go, like that, and a spectral pony bursts up between your thighs. And you are now stood on an unusually intelligent pony. It looks at you intelligently.
But is it honest? I could cast my ear to see it again.
Yes.
What do you got?
I got eye for detail. I can use a bonus action to make a perception check to spot a hidden creature or object, or to make an investigation check to uncover or decipher clues.
You point out to your cohorts that there is
a pony,
a little baby seagull hiding in the top of this palm tree.
Right.
Well, there it is. It's very small. Creature. Not everyone would notice it.
Okay. You do have an eye for detail.
And I'll tell you what. You also, while they're doing their cool stuff, you take a look around and you survey the landscape one more time. Mm-hmm. You get a slightly more concrete sense of where you are.
Okay.
This island is a long oval shape, which you ascertain by like figuring out the sound of surf hitting reefs and like directions of shadows and stuff like that. You're quite good at this sort of geography stuff. It's also wedge-shaped. You don't know why, but you just remember that that's typically how islands in seas like this tend to form.
You're a geographer.
Probably, yeah.
So imagine a big sort of, well, imagine a big wedge.
Yep.
Of which you are on the shallow side. The island is maybe 5 miles long, you would guess, holding up your little shattered, bloody cap.
Poor thumb.
Yeah, little toe beans. you look around as well. There's no land on the horizon on any side. What you can spot, though, are some very ominous and threatening storm clouds. And I'm going to say that all of this spell slinging, the sun is now moving behind those clouds.
Uh-oh.
It's getting a little darker. Wind's coming up.
I'd like to share that information immediately, just in case that baby seagull comes down and finishes me off.
Yep.
A hero.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to let them know about the layout of the island and also draw attention to the gathering clouds. Shelter would probably be a good idea around now.
Okay. Is it a rocky sort of island? Do we see caves, cliffs?
The part that you're on, no. You're in a very exposed area right now. Probably a decent hike away is that sort of forested part. Mm. There probably are caves, cliffs, but they're on the steeper side of this island.
Are there any buildings or any sort of sign of
any wisps of smoke?
Of anything around?
Good idea. Let's call this an investigation.
Ooh, a new thing. Ah, thank God I'm doing it. Plus zero. Yeah. That's a 12.
A 12, okay. Yeah, that'll work. Not least because as you survey, you're looking for buildings, you're looking for sort of familiar structures. Almost by muscle memory, your wings unfurl and just sort of beat once. And just propel you a little way up in the air. Not very far, but like a, you know, maybe sort of 30 feet. kind of up in the air. It's kind of like one big floaty jump. And then you sort of drift down. Oh yeah, wings. While you were up there, you saw some stone structures very far off in the distance, right at the end of the island, that look like they are conceivably buildings. No wispy smoke.
I can see some buildings over there. Do we want to go over to the buildings?
Yeah, let's make our way over there on your fine steed.
Yes. Sling me over the back of the pony and we'll get moving.
I would like to codify your wounds, okay. If that's all right, Tiddles.
Sure.
Let's say obviously it's pretty bad. Broken leg. Let's say a few smashed ribs. You can't really move by yourself upright unaided.
Okay.
I'm going to say that feels fair. And everything else is sort of sprained or badly bruised. There may be internal bleeding, but it's not made itself known yet. Yeah.
But nothing a good night's sleep wouldn't sort out.
Before we set off, can I do like a med? Can I see if I've got any like medicine skills?
Yes.
You don't just have to heal with magic.
No,
yeah, of course.
You don't.
So I'm just gonna scratch my medicine.
Yeah.
Box here and no. Unfortunately, that's a negatory on medicine. So
you could still try it.
I can still try.
You can try everything.
What about nature? Like a naturey looking around for some
herbal sort of remedies. Yeah.
Roll it for me, Tiddles.
Making a.
All right, I'm going to do that as well. Let's go nature, medicine and nature.
Everyone who wants to help Diddles, potentially.
I do have a plus one in nature, so...
But that's... I've got a plus three in nature.
I've got a plus five in medicine.
Oh, hey. Hell yeah!
Oh, lovely.
Sweet.
Okay, everyone right. Roll it for me then.
Here we go.
We're going to heal this cat.
Oh, I got 11 overall.
Oh, I got three... on my medicine roll.
7 plus 5, 12.
Okay. Let's say, Red, you sort of scoop up some handfuls of seaweed.
Yeah.
This could be a poultice.
Is this anything?
You sort of press it uselessly, but not harmfully, into Tiddles' wounds.
Just rubbing some salty seaweed into the wound.
They get salty, which hurts,
yeah.
But it's cleansing.
Right.
Manbird, however, some of these bits of driftwood that are lying about, you spot one that's sort of long and thin and sturdy, and there's like something in you, you just feel like you have experience in field medicine, or at some point someone's told you something to do with this, and you pick it up and you tear off a strip of your yellow tabard and you bind it to Tiddles's
shattered leg.
Tiddles, you can now walk unaided, right. Slowly, and I'll say that heals you to the tune of 1d6, which you can roll if you like.
All right. 4.
Okay.
So I'm now on 6 hit points.
Hit points. Sitting very
high
pretty.
On the pony.
Cool. So, are we all on the steed?
Will it sit 3?
I could always fly.
It's an unusually intelligent pony.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll, yeah. I'll sit atop the pony.
Yeah.
With your permission.
Oh yes, absolutely. Mm. And pony, are you all right with us all being on you?
Yeah, pony.
The pony looks at you and its eyebrow just raises slightly. it's a kind of eyebrow raise that implies knowing laughter, as if to say. Manbird, what kind of spectral steed would I be if I didn't heed the commands of my summoner? Hop aboard, you two. That's sort of what it seems to say.
I wonder if this pony knows you.
Yeah.
Like, if you've summoned it before.
We have a connection.
Right. Yeah. Interesting.
Fantastic. Great. On we go.
Right. Clippy-cloppy.
Cool. So where exactly are we headed? What is the target?
Broadly towards the buildings, I guess. Yeah. Even though they're a long way away.
Yeah. Okay. So you leave the beach, and as your horse sort of clip-clops up the sand, kicking up cool little cinematic bits of sand, Thunder starts to sort of ominously rumble behind you. The sky is an intimidating sort of bruised purple colour. Mm. A nasty storm is rolling in for sure, and the wind is picking up. It starts to rain as you enter the kind of foresty, sort of forested area. Remember, the island is long and thin, and the middle part is all covered in this kind of brush. So this unusually intelligent horse has no problem knowing where to go, and Tiddles, you have a sense of which way is north. And yeah, you clip-clop along very happily. You've all done so well, so I'm going to say as you go about this journey, a few memories stir. Let's say, Tiddles, your wounds are hurting you a great deal. It reminds you of times before when you have...
been in great pain.
witnessed great pain.
I see, okay.
And swimming into focus, a sobbing tiefling youth stands before you. In Whoa. Court. He is only a child, but the Duke's laws are very clear about the penalty for poaching on royal land. With a grimace, you swing the gavel. Manbird.
Judge.
Manbird. The feel of wind under your wings reminds you of the year that you first learned to fly when you were very, very little. You remember a dusty alleyway, a gang of young Arakokra and humans. You spent all afternoon trying to trap a feral cat under a box with no luck. A lanky Arakokra joins you. You recognize him as a brother of yours. This should do it, he says, lifting his stained shirt to reveal a fresh whole trout. Lifted it from the stall. Kitty won't be able to resist. In the memory. From his back. Of focus. Okay. As you ride into this forested area, everybody make me a wisdom perception check.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Remember, you can roll off for these. You can roll off, like, you can scratch off the skill, and you can Ooh. Also scratch off the
I'm very
ability
perceptive.
Which it derives from.
I'm not very wise, and I'm not very perceptive. Turned
I,
out.
On the other hand, am. I've got +8 in perception.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm gonna do some percepting. And that's a nat 20 as well.
Yeah.
28, which I think is the highest I've ever rolled in D&D.
Yeah, I think so.
So, there you go.
Yeah, all right. As you're galloping along, Tiddles, you are distracted away from your memories by an almost imperceptible gargling.
Not to me,
gargling
master
sound.
Of perception.
Not to you. So perceptive. Your large tabaxi ears sort of twitch.
I'm quite sensitive about those, but carry on.
Sure. So your large but perfectly formed tabaxi ears. Twitch, sort of responding to some sensitive sound. You can hear very nearby, somewhere like close in the forest, off to the left, mm-hmm. there's, gosh, ten or 11, hard to tell. What did you roll, 28?
28, yeah.
Exactly 10. Exactly 10 forms moving through the brush. And what's this? They're dragging something. Something heavy, something that creaks.
All right.
You hear a unpleasant gargling sound and the occasional...
Yeah, I share this information again immediately just in case a gust of wind finishes me off.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheers. Cool. 10 forms, dragging something heavy to the left.
Maybe they can help us. Maybe they're not necessarily foes.
They could be friendly, they could be foes. Even with my acute perceptive skills, I couldn't work that out from the gargling. There was nothing that sounded like language, was there?
28. The gargling is the language.
Okay.
Sounds like a... Did it sound like the Sahuagin from earlier?
It did not.
It did not.
It didn't sound a million miles away, but it did not.
Another seaborne creature or amphibious creature. Should we hide somewhere and watch and wait? I'm so good at perceiving things. If we hide and watch and wait... I might be able to perceive some more things.
That seems wise.
Yeah.
I defer to your wisdom.
Yes.
You've got much more of it.
Some area of sort of like foliage that we could hide in, or a particular, you know?
This whole place is dense foliage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
A comfy spot to...
Yeah, so you...
Maybe slightly elevated.
Do you want to dismount or dismiss the pony?
Oh.
Hide the pony.
Or stay on it.
Hide the pony.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You can only summon it once more.
Yeah,
exactly.
We might need it.
But it lasts for ages, right?
Yeah.
Fine steed.
Is it?
Creating a long-lasting bond with it.
The pony gives you a look to say, like, here we go. and sort of dressages its way behind a pony-shaped bush.
Perfectly.
Yeah, perfectly slots behind, becomes stationary and peaceful.
This pony's the real hero of this story.
Yeah, right.
When I get killed, can I play as the pony?
No. Okay, yeah, you know, Tiddles, that all of this scraping and gargling and stuff was coming from off, like, in this sort of direction. Mm. So what's the play here? Are you all going to sort of creep up? Are you going to...
Are they coming in our direction? Is the sound getting closer?
I assume they're moving closer, yeah, and that we would have...
They're moving closer. It doesn't sound like they're moving towards you, but they're close by.
Well, then maybe we can stealth through the undergrowth and try and sneak a peek.
Just take a look and see what they're dragging is what I'm most interested in.
Love it. Everybody make me a stealth check. Find out how good you are at this core D&D attribute.
Let's find out.
Oh, that's stealth. Zero.
Whoa, I'm good at stealth as well.
What's happening?
What the heck?
I got three. That's
good.
Decent.
I got plus eight in that as well.
You got eight stealth. What are you?
I'm like a stealthy judge, from what I can tell.
The stealthy judge.
A stealthy perceptive
cat.
Judge. Cat.
That archetype.
Yeah.
I rolled an eight. There's no modifiers.
Okay.
Zero,
okay.
That's mine.
And I've got an eight also.
I got an 18 plus eight is 26.
Dang!
Okay. The three of you set off through the undergrowth. Tiddles, you're obviously moving slowly because of your wounds.
My age and my wounds.
But nevertheless, your body just sort of like folds itself underneath every branch, like kind of between every vine. Yeah, you sort of kind of flow almost like very slow moving water.
Right.
Like magma, maybe.
Right, okay.
Kind of through the forest.
Inexorably.
Yeah, silently. And as you part two branches, you get a look at what was making this sound. It is a group of Kuatoa, who you may remember, or you can see now, are sort of small fish people. Much more fish than people. Each one is about yay high. They are armed to the teeth with sort of jagged bits of metal and sort of coral and stuff. And they are, and each of them is pulling on a rope. Attached to the rope is a large sea chest. That's what you see. Manbird and Red, you trip over Tiddles when he stops and sort of clatter forward over him into this clearing. I will roll for all the Kuatoa, who, to be fair, are distracted with a task, a noisy task of dragging. What should we call this? Should we say they over 12 and they detect you? 14, that is. The two Sahuagin closest to the back turn around and spot you and go, wow, 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 and sort of pull a little swords out, little daggery thing.
So they don't recognize us.
Oh,
maybe. It's us.
These could be your best friends.
Guys.
Good to see you guys.
You've got to help us. We've forgotten everything.
Now all of them are kind of like facing you with daggers, looking very confused and apprehensive.
Well, I'm... I'm as confused as you are.
They're gathering around the chest. I think they think that you want their chest.
Oh, no, 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 no.
We don't want the chest.
Everyone make me a charisma persuasion?
Or
is this intimidation?
All right,
or
oh, yeah.
Maybe you could do a thing.
Let's try and talk it out.
I'm gonna try and persuade them.
Okay.
Charisma.
I got a +2 in charisma.
What have we got? Oh, yeah. I got a +2.
+2. Ooh. Oh, I'm very persuasive, though.
Oh.
So that's a dirty 20, an 18 +2.
Fantastic.
+8 in persuasion. Oh, it's a 23.
14.
I can tell you that
friends.
Whatever angle you're going for here yes. is going to work.
Okay.
What is the angle?
You take the lead since you rolled so high.
I think these creatures would like an offering of some sort.
Huh. What do you got?
So, I don't know. I haven't checked my pockets.
Now there's a...
And I can't remember what might be in my pockets or might not be in my pockets. So, I'm going to plunge my hand into one of the pockets of my blue robes and see what comes out.
You plunge your hands into the pockets of your blue robe. There is nothing in the pockets, but you feel a little lump in...
It's in my hip bone.
Yeah, it's your hip bone. You feel like something kind of small and hard sort of around here where your painful ribs are.
Okay.
And exploring with your big fluffy tabaxi paws, there's something in the lining, and you sort of unstitch it, pull it out. It's a signet ring. It's beautiful.
Yep.
And it's made of gold.
Right.
Seems like you maybe tried to hide it in there.
Right.
You did hide it in there successfully.
It's presumably very important to me, but past me.
Yeah, sure.
Now, who knows?
Sure.
I'm going to offer the signet ring to these people. I'm going to kneel down as well as best I can with my terrible...
Oh, they like that.
Yeah, and I'm going to offer them the signet ring.
Yeah. One of the Kuotawa, the biggest, burliest ones, sort of steps forward and conducts the negotiation, sort of using a dagger to illustrate, pointing to the chest, like...
No, just a gift. Just a gift.
They don't seem familiar with this concept of gift.
All right, well, they're going to love it.
We've blown their minds.
Yeah.
They don't get it. Oh,
okay.
Oh, yeah, we'll take the prefer. Test if you want.
sounds like I'm giving it you too easy, but I've just headcanoned these Kuotawa. So, they're so clear in my mind, and they do trade. They don't do presents.
Okay.
So they take the ring from you.
Okay.
It's clearly of immense value. Whereas this big heavy box
could be
big heavy box.
Big load of wood.
Yeah. They all gather around and look at it and gratefully drop their robes.
All right.
Like that.
They've taken their clothes off.
Ropes.
Ropes.
All right, it's time to party. We've done the trade. It's time.
I mean, I know I'm charismatic, but all the Kuotawa down. I was going to say down tools, but yeah. All the Kuotawa take all their clothes off.
Right.
So liberating. So good. It is. Yeah, their working day is done.
Yeah.
Okay. They sort of wander off, all looking at their lovely, precious new possession. Leaving with a bunch of ropes attached, this sort of big, slightly waterlogged sea chest.
Well, should we try and crack this thing open?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm capable. I think bits of me would crack before it cracked.
Can I prise it open with a dagger?
Let's find out.
Okay, I'm going to try and prise this waterlogged sea chest, which is probably not... I mean, is it damaged? Is it old?
Looks
old. What am
old.
I going to need? Okay, okay.
Doesn't look damaged particularly.
What's a prizing thing? A dexterity, I guess?
Yeah, I think this is finesse, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Attack this sea chest.
I attack the sea chest, and I hit it for with a roll of 16.
Mm-mm.
Oh!
The dagger doesn't break.
Okay.
As you try and prize this.
Okay.
The dagger's okay. But it's, yeah, this thing is well made. It's fine. Luxuriant.
Is there a lock on it?
Yes.
Can I, like, pop one of my little
a
tabaxi
padlock
claws out and stick them in the lock and try and see if I can get it picked?
Yeah, I'd love it if you did.
All right. Is that a... What is that?
Maybe sleight of hand.
Yeah,
sleight of hand feels right to me.
Handy sort of thing. Ooh, I've got plus five in that. It definitely feels like sleight of hand. Yeah. Yeah, just the memory of.
It's coming back to me now.
Probably a sleight of hand.
Yeah,
wrong,
coming back to me now.
That is a 16 plus five is a 21.
Yeah, okay. Some of the things that you all have been doing feel like things that you've done a thousand times before. Mm. Like they kind of reverberate around your mind, like they're kind of bouncing off some, like an echolocation in your head is like, I've done this before. This isn't one of those times. As you pick this lock to thieve whatever's in this chest, you just have like a sort of odd tingle of like guilt. Nothing major, but just like, this isn't the kind of thing you do.
No.
But this brass lock springs open and the chest sort of groans and lets go a little water as it sort of expands and stretches. I assume you're opening it.
Yes.
Cool.
Not a mimic or anything.
Yeah, bam!
Yeah, six hit
for
points.
Six hit points. yeah. You open it up. Inside, everything's pretty wet, unfortunately. There are maps. Quite a lot of maps.
Mm.
You spread them out. The light is failing. It's getting a bit dark to see. Mm. I guess some of you probably have dark vision.
Who knows?
I'm going to guess you two have dark vision.
Cool.
Maybe.
All right.
And Tiddles. Mm. So you can see, you can both see quite clearly that these are just, maps of land masses and ocean.
Could this have been on the ship that was presumably wrecked on the beach?
That we were on, maybe.
That we were on.
Mm. Tiddles, as you sort through, you find a map which, as you stare at it, you remember your ridiculous perception rolls from earlier. This is a map of this island.
Huh.
This island is called Reefstrop.
Ah.
There is a little... For that is written on it.
Okay. Mm. Are there any other markings on it? You know, is it... You know, is there like little crosses? And little... You know, are the buildings marked on it?
Yes, the buildings are marked on it. It doesn't say what they are. They're just sort of little kind of like triangular markings kind of up near there. They clearly denote some sort of, activity up there. And there's a note scribbled in the margins that just says smugglers. And that's underlined a few times.
Mm.
And this chart is very old. That's the other thing you can tell. As you sort through these papers, you also find a ruined captain's log. Who would like to read it?
I can read it. I mean, if I'm a judge, I'm sure I'm used to reading things and papers and stuff like that.
Yes.
Actual props.
We got it.
Actual props.
It says, this may be the final entry of Captain Windslot. Mind slot? this handwriting. Something slot. Of His Royal Duke's prisoner transport, ship Puritanica.
Oh.
Shortly before,
eight bells
in the first watch, the ship was something at
hold?
Hulled amidships off the southern shore of Reefstrop Island.
This is brilliant. All I did was choose a weird font,
yeah,
and now they're very authentically trying to...
It's all wet and waterlogged.
Yeah, all wet and waterlogged. This is genius.
Cause unknown. The reefs in this parallel are largely uncharted and its wildlife unknown. They're already half sunk, detainees agitated. I hear their clamoring from below decks. I expect all 4 dozen will perish. Evacuating them all would be impossible, and besides, I cannot risk the escape of a blue-tier criminal. One of us maybe is a blue-tier criminal. Maybe that's... I'm looking at my blue clothing. I feel sorry to have failed in my mission to bring these reprobates to Kir Sabal to stand trial, but perhaps nature is exacting its own kind of justice. To whomsoever may find this, I'm taking my officers in the only boat to Reef's Drop, where I shall await rescue. P.S. I've taken with me the Nemosyne, still locked. Drowning without the memories of their wicked lives is a kindness I have chosen to grant the prisoners, though I scarcely think they deserve it.
Whoa.
Oh,
wicked lives.
Our memories.
We're all very bad people, it seems.
But they've got our memories.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I want them back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I want them back.
Yeah,
maybe
sure
I'm a real
you.
Jerk.
Yeah.
Maybe it's better if I don't know.
Well, let's find out. Okay, come back for part 2 of D&D and Everyone Has Amnesia, where we will be finding out if these 3 possibly criminals can find out more about their past. Thank you very much, Mike and Jane from Oxventure. Sullivan, where can people find your work?
Oh, go to No Rolls Bard, or indeed Chaotic Neutral is a brand new role-playing game channel. And No Rolls Bard to see me playing silly board games.
Thank you very much. Come back for part 2.
So that was D&D, but Everyone Has Amnesia Part 1. How did you find that experience, Mike, as a player?
Thoroughly enjoyable. I mean, for a start, I didn't have to make a character, so that's about, you know, an hour or two's labour taken off my plate. No, I thought Luke did a brilliant job. And actually, the thing I thought Luke did a brilliant job of for this stuff was recognising that actually... the amnesia can't just relate to the mechanics. It's got to have sort of story implications as well. So these sort of occasional flashbacks or revelations that our characters reach were all sort of prepared by Luke, and they sort of progress throughout the second part as well, as we understand more about our characters. But I just thought it was, for something that, you know, when we first talked about it, I was like, is this going to work? You never really know when you start futzing with the mechanics of your favorite tabletop RPG. But it just worked beautifully, worked really, really smoothly, was expertly DM'd by Luke. I thought he did a great job. And I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
So we've got a bit of a cliffhanger here with the story.
Yes.
What do we know about your character at this point?
Well, I think a lot of people already kind of have twigged the character class. You know, he's got a kind of like roguishness about him. It's tricky when you don't know the later spells of a class you've never played before. It was tricky for me certainly to pick up on where that might be going in terms of class. I had some ideas and stuff, and you know, some of the stats kind of bear that out as well. It was a really tricky one to get a handle on exactly who my character was, and I think that sort of transitions into the second part as well, in that you really are sort of all you have to go on is what you've been given by the GM and the evidence on the character sheet. So I wasn't sure whether, certainly at this point, whether I was a good cat person or a bad cat person. And when you're trying to role play, you're like, well, am I good or am I bad? But then that kind of...
your character doesn't know either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it sort of plays into that, you know, Total Recall, where he's not sure if he's a good person or a bad person.
Yeah.
And he's... currently, he's a good person, but maybe he was a bad person previously.
What's that Harrison Ford film where he gets shot and loses his memory? Regarding Henry, is it?
Right, I'm not sure.
He's discovering all this stuff about his old life, and he realizes he was a total bastard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I wasn't sure that that was me or not. So I find myself like, you know, in a given situation, I'm like, well, maybe I'm bad, so maybe I should. Maybe I should be bad.
Maybe I should be a bad guy in this situation.
Yeah. So it was an entertaining role playing challenge. But yeah, it was deep into the whole 2-part arc where I really started to feel like I had a handle on the character. But I like the idea of a character who maybe wasn't entirely good, but who's given a new chance and without the sort of external influence or their upbringing or whatever, is by default cooperative with the people that he finds himself with. So I like that as a sort of narrative thing anyway. And, you know, it's well, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, and you'll find out more about Tiddles as time goes on. But yeah, I think that's a really juicy bit of like role-playing stuff to kind of wrestle with that you wouldn't get in any other format of D&D where you know who your character is.
Yeah, I think it was a very successful concept. I'd like to revisit it.
Absolutely. Maybe, yeah,
just like tweak it a bit. But I think, yeah, I think it's something that we will hopefully go back to in future. But speaking of things that are happening not very far in the future, actually, probably right now when you're listening to this, is the final season of the Oxventurers Guild. And to be very clear, what that means is the original characters, Corazon, Egbert, Dob, Prudence, Merylwen. This will be their last major adventure for a while.
Certainly.
Okay, we're letting the characters rest, and this is the kind of climactic final season for these guys. So
they're hopping on the retiring from YouTube bandwagon and getting involved. So watch out, Tom Scott and Matt Pat and all you lot.
Yeah, tune in tonight. Tomorrow, whenever, it'll be up forever. But
don't hang around, obviously.
Yeah.
You know?
But Friday, the 12th of April, 2024, which is when this episode will be going out, is the day that this episode is going up. So do check it out. We've got a whole season of Oxventure, D&D coming, your faves, all your characters.
Huge revelations,
world-changing events.
Yep.
All sorts of uneasy alliances and drama and intrigue.
Character backstory reveals.
Simmering resentments.
Resentments and side quests and objectives and things like that. It really, we've like worked really hard to wrap up so much with this season. And if you can't wait to find out more about the fate of the Oxventurers Guild, then please do be there tonight or over the weekend and check it out.
And hopefully soon we can share some more details about our upcoming new campaign with new characters and everything. So
which we're all thinking very hard about. Probably none more so than Johnny. They are thinking about it the most.
Because they will be
GMing it. But
I'm so excited about my character.
Yeah. I've still got some work to do on mine. I'm still looking for exactly the perfect hook for my character. I've got some ideas and I know the basics, but I just want to,
I think a lot of us are going to be leaning into that. Like, first D&D character is like a cool wizard. Second D&D character is a piece of toast animated by Mage Hand something.
I mean, that works for me,
it's going to get a bit weird, I think.
Is your first D&D character autobiographical, like your first novel?
That's what some people say. They say it's just you turned up.
I mean, I am a cool wizard in real life, so
11,
that tracks.
I'm not a jerk-ass rogue.
You are a rogue, though, and also a pirate.
That's true.
Who multi-classes.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be coming up soon as well. Lots of exciting stuff in the works. If you like what we do here at Oxventure, you can always check out our Patreon if you go to patreon.com/OXClub to help us keep making more of the stuff that you love.
Yeah, and there's a Discord to hang out in as well, which has its own dedicated Oxventure chat. Let me see what the Oxventure chat is saying right now. I'm going to give you live updates from the Oxventure chat. I hope it's good. There's a lot of pictures of gifts of seals at the moment and a picture of the musical artist seal.
Great.
And Ron Paul Stiltskin says, I think Simon would look dapper wearing a top hat, Simon being Merylwen's cat. So there you go. That's the kind of insight you get on the OX Sporters Club Discord Oxventure chat channel.
So check it out. One last thing before we go. We are going to be at MCM London Comic Con.
We're going to
be on the center stage on Friday the 24th of May at 4:30 p.m. That is included in your MCM ticket if you're going. So if you're going to be there on Friday the 24th of May, we're going to be doing a signing at 1 p.m. and we're going to be doing our live show at 4:30. So if you're going to be there, come down, get something signed, say hi, and then check out the live show. We would absolutely love to see you there. All right, cool. We are going to go off and I need to get into position now.
We're going to absolutely go off. That's what happens
in
the premiere.
We're going to go off and get in position for the premiere and get ready to like type lol and like OMG when stuff happens.
Yeah. All right.
That's how I interact with media. So thank you for listening, folks. We will see you next week for part two of D&D But Everyone Has Amnesia. Have a great weekend and we'll see you then.
Bye.